and gentlemen, brothers and sisters and friends, as I said in every meeting I came to during this tour, one of the best things about this tour that was managed by cage prisoners or done by cage prisoners is that it has given me the opportunity to come here in person and thank you very much for your campaigning. Campaigning and the work, the hard work that you have taken when we were locked up in Guantanamo Bay to release us and to release many other prisoners in Guantanamo Bay, and continue to work hard to release the others who are in Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay has become a symbol of all the ugliness and atrocities and the deception of the previous administration, the Bush administration. And probably rightly so, that Obama, when taking power, he used it as a symbol. He chose to use Guantanamo Bay as a symbol. One of his first decisions was to close down Guantanamo Bay because of the symbol that it has become now. However, to me, I would like to speak more about the people I met in Guantanamo Bay, personalize them, about people and persons, to make you feel how human they are, like you yourselves. I would like to speak more about the humans, as I said, I met, not the numbers, not Guantanamo, not the subject, but best of cases that would explain the deception and the cunningness that went on when Guantanamo was set up is the case of Ali al-Fahri, or more known as Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi. He is at the end of his 30s, and he's married and has a child by the name of Noor. He was abducted in Pakistan, where he fled from. He is a Libyan national, fled from the Libyan government long time ago because of his opposition to the rulers there. So he fled to Pakistan. He was abducted by the Americans and then taken to secret prisons that Guantanamo Bay has spoken about. Not taken to Bagram base, not to Guantanamo Bay, but he was taken to secret prisons. People who are locked up in those secret prisons are called ghost prisoners, because some of them we don't even know their names. And some of them we come to know their names, like this man, Ali al-Fahri, because he left those prisons to other places. And there are many, many prisons like that, and the things that happen and the torture that goes on in those prisons, as my friend Muazzam has said, is a lot worse than what goes on in Guantanamo Bay. There are some in Poland, some in Jordan, some in Morocco, there are some in the ocean, the Indian Ocean, San Garcia Island. There's some in many places around the world, run by the CIA, supervised by the CIA. This man was tortured in one of those prisons, and then he was taken to Bagram, where he's met some people that I've met, and then from there he was put in a box. Can you imagine? You know, put in a box and sent to Egypt for further interrogation and further subjected to further torture, more cruel treatment. The Hosni Mubarak government in Egypt tortured this man and subjected him to things that to more cruel treatment. They forced him to say things were not true to please the Americans, to show the Americans they were doing something that the Americans couldn't achieve. They forced him to say that Saddam Hussein was working with Osama bin Laden or the Qaeda in training them into chemical weapons or something like that. And there was some relationship between them, which wasn't true. And after they did that, they returned him back. He was returned to the American administration again in the Bagram base. And the Americans used this evidence, used what he has said under torture, and they used that to... First, Bush spoke about it in public. He was so pleased about obtaining this person and gaining this kind of information. And then even worse, the foreign minister, Colin Powell, went to the United Nations to make a statement about war, going to war in Iraq. And one of the justifications of going to war in Iraq was, or one of the most important justifications he used in the United Nations speech was that they have information that they received from a man they have abducted, a top Qaeda rank person, about involvement in war between Saddam Hussein, the previous dictator, and Bin Laden or the Qaeda. And they use this to invade another country and to cause all the atrocities that we all know about. Not Saddam Hussein was affected by the war, by the normal people, the women and civilians, men and young children in Iraq that we all know that continued for years and years, the war which continued for years and years. And not only that, but other nations were dragged into that war, foolishly following the American government into that war. When he was returned to Bagram, Ali al-Fakhri withdrew what he said, and he said what he said because he was tortured and was completely untrue. The Americans recognized that he was saying the truth, that it wasn't true, that what he said before. So they withdrew the speech formally. They withdrew the speech from the United Nations as being false. They said that this speech that Colin Powell made was not to be accounted invalid, because it contained false information. But they've done this secretly. They haven't done it in the open. Like when they locked up this person and when they gained this false information, they made sure that everyone heard about it. But not so when they recognized that the information that caused the war or led them or made it an excuse for them to go to the war was not made public. But the problem and the deception and the cruelty of this case doesn't end there. Ali al-Fakhri, no one knows where he is anymore. Nobody knows where he disappeared. If you check caged prisoners and ask about Ali al-Fakhri or any human rights in the internet, probably they might, unless recently has been discovered, they will not tell you where he has been detained or his prison after this case happened. But what happened after that is that the Americans, to get rid of this man, they have sent him back to Gaddafi, to Libya. So they will destroy the last evidence they have. And he is, before they gave him to Libya, they injected him, doctors injected him with tuberculosis, TP, in his lungs, where they expected him to die in prisons in Libya. When he came to Libya, where he is locked, through our contact we came to realize and know where he is now. And we met people, not met them, but we know about people who were locked up with him in the same cell. When he was in Libya, what happened was, contrary to their exceptions, that he was, the disease went away from him and he became better than was expected. They expected he was going to die inside those prisons and no one would hear about him. And he would be kept in that prison. Probably no one, he will never probably see the sun again. And so, the importance of this case is that the more we speak about it, and the more we bring it to the notice of the people, the more it embarrasses the government and the acts that it did. Because why they sent him there to finish him is that every time he will appear, they didn't even designate him like the other people they designated. They designated 13 people they claimed to be top-ranking Qaeda, most dangerous people. They put them to military tribunals. But they didn't do the same with him because they thought every time he will appear, he will remind people about the statement they made and the deception that was made because of him. Another thing in Guantanamo, other criminal acts that happened in Guantanamo, and people probably heard of, but not so much, is the doctors, as you see in this case, the doctors' involvement, how the doctors used their professional and skilled into torturing people in Guantanamo Bay. For example, in front of me there was a young man called Amr al-Khidr. He's a Canadian young man of 15 years old. And he had big holes in his body because they shot in his body when they took him. And he was very, very sick. And every time he falls unconscious to the floor, because of his sickness, the bullets, places and the holes that he has in his body and the wounds, the guards come rushing in the corridors and they open the cell and they look at his heartbeat. The doctor comes rushing, the doctor comes in. I can see because I say he was in front of my cell. So the doctor comes in and they look at his heartbeat. And if they see that his heartbeats are still, he's still alive, they lock the door and they leave him on the floor. He's still alive. And the last thing they say, if you want anything, speak to your interrogators. The doctors' collusion with interrogation and how they use their how they do things to force people in speaking. They use their skills into making. They made the wrong use of their skills. The many cases like that. Some of them like one had a problem in his throat, tonsils problems, and he what they did, the operation they made on him was to cut his speaking cord, so he can't speak anymore. When I left the prison, his speaking cord was cut by doctors, and they said to him, Dr. K said to him, if you want anything, speak to your interrogators, and we can fix that. We can fix what we made wrong. And the same doctor, this Dr. K, is the same doctor who came with many projects inside prison, like taking off people's clothes, and they had certain cells where people were forced to go naked and as a form of humiliation and so on. So doctors used their work. Much of their work was used in this way. The medicine, they used to say that it didn't give you any medicine. They used to say to people detained there that if you had any tooth pains, they'd say, we can pull your tooth out, but we cannot give you anything other than painkillers. But nothing can we give you as medicine, no medicine for you. If you had any problems, anything in your body, we can amputate it, but not medicine. We can give you painkillers if you want. But if you can't bear the pain anymore, we can amputate your hands or your legs or whatever the wound is. And you can imagine people are locked up there for 7 years and 6 years. People do contract illnesses and diseases because of the way that the place itself is engineered. The food, the air conditioner, the light. You are supposed to live there for 24 hours under glaring lights in a small cell. The food itself is made in a way that causes illnesses. All sorts of illnesses. Young people of the age of 23 and 22 contracted, like Abdul Hadi, Syrian Abdul Hadi, contracted nearly 13 diseases, serious diseases, inside prison. Heart problems, pressure, sugar, things like that, things, kidney failure, problems that you will probably get if you're very old and you're not looking after yourself. Not young people like in the age of 21 and 23 with illnesses that are inflicted on very, very old people sometimes. So this one of the other things. The use of doctor, the use of Guantanamo Bay by other governments is another thing that I would like to speak about. When we were locked up there, many governments used Guantanamo Bay. They sent intelligence service to interrogate us inside that prison. The MI5, as Marlon Bay would tell you, came there on MI6, came there to interrogate us. They were first who brought things that were forced, completely forced, and caused endless interrogation for us. And we questioned about until the Americans realized there were false information. People came up there to please the Americans. The Canadians, the Australians came there to interrogate. The Italians came there to interrogate. The French came there. The Spanish. Everyone used Guantanamo Bay. But many, many people do not hear about these things. That place, which is an international torture facility, was used not only by the Americans, but many, many other nations have used that place and colluded with the American government in its use. In ending, I would like to say that those places, I think we should continue to campaign to lock these places up, to close them, to shut them down, because of what they represent, because of what happened in those places. And we should not follow the footsteps. We should not follow what the American administration has done in this country or in any other country. We came back to this country to see that as an extension of Guantanamo Bay, because of what Bush has done in America, in Guantanamo Bay, many, many countries looked at America as their leaders or as their leaders, and copied their policies. And it was not it was possible for them also to do the same in this country, in control orders, like Muaddim said. People are held without any trials, just under suspicion of being terrorists. They were not given fair trials. They were not given lawyers to defend them. And this affected not only them, but affected them and their children and their wives and families for years. It's not for months, but for years, people are under control orders and under certain kind of imprisonments in this country also. The Director of Liberty says about those control orders in this country, he says, control orders were a disgrace and an embarrassment to our security policy. Amnesty International called the UK government to abandon the use of control orders. And what better time than this time that the Obama government are trying to, though as I say, they're trying to close those secret places and close those practices which were unacceptable by most people, by any decent people. What better time than this time to follow suit in this sense, even in this country, to stop those things happening to people even in this country also. I say what you hear, and I thank you very much for your listening to me, and thank you for your patience.